Without wasting time, we'll begin our session now by introducing ourselves. Then we can then allow you to lead us on the presentation. I'll ask members when we finish this presentation to remain behind, because there are some slight changes in the program in the DG. He's here and probably in the future is supposed to be here. We need to have some small changes in our program. So I think therefore you'll have to remain here so that we agree on those changes, which Shamas will announce. I'll start from my desk here. I'm the chairperson of the local. With my secretary, the members can introduce themselves.
Thank you, Chair.
My pleasure.
No, thank you, Chair.
Good morning, I'm Denise Blockers-Lowland's member.
Good morning, I'm Dana Blakey, member of the Conference Council.
Good morning, I'm Ron Lyon, I'm a member of the Conference.
I'm sorry, disadvantage of being late. My apologies for having late. Still not yet settled. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Mujumi, member of the Portfolio Committee.
No, it's not that. You know what is your problem? It's the head. Well, your head. Everything is very white.
Morning, everybody. I am Cynthia Zazi, member of the Portfolio Committee.
I just want to make my correction. Renee is no longer worried, but there is a content advice. Sorry for that. I think we've got the committee assistant. You're the committee assistant. And the committee assistant, because we have not been around this committee. And then they see there are another dynamic committee assistant today. What's the problem? There's a lot of work. I see the delegation is very big. Okay. Right, Kitty, you can introduce the delegation.
Thanks, Chair. Remember, Nassim Chouakam, the General and Departmental Assistant.
Imran Patel, I'm the DG for Program 5, which is Socio-Economic Partnership.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Boden Mohedi, DG for International Cooperation and Peace.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Boden Mohedi, I'm the CEO of the
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Tom Sami. I'm the DG responsible for research, development, and innovation.
Can you see anyone who finish? Because someone wants to be.
Yeah,
medical research can now.
Yeah, you must go now. That's what I'm looking for. That's someone. Please, but doing nothing, what are you doing?
Because The only one who has not been registered as a there is a lot of
health. You know when the chief comes, almost late. The others are not healthy. Morning, Chair, honorable members, for apologies. I am well of Nongkonya, the chief of IBET, and the deputy of the ANC in Parliament. I'm the member of the committee.
I'm sitting inside here if there is no longer available seat. That's coming back there. Okay, did you, I think you can lead up.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. We have brought away most of the DDGs for two reasons. The first reason is that in the process that we have engaged in planning and evaluation in the department, we would like the DDGs sometimes to hear the comments and your oversight questions themselves, rather than them being given the feedback by myself or maybe one of the DDGs. So we apologize, you have a big delegation. The second one is that we have new DDGs that have joined the department, and it is always advisable and an experience for them to get the opportunity again to meet with yourself. So again, they will get a sense of how the department oversight works.
And I know of the new one.
I was chief director, but I came in on my acting capacity at the time.
Okay.
My name is Bodin Mofe, the DDG for International Corporate Center.
Dr. Matutu is coming in for Dr. After I so we said just about maybe next week as well.
So long there's a new member
for being late. I forgot my permit at the Gate Walk with a corresponding problem of getting to Parliament. So my apologies for being late. My name is Anita Cablanche.
I say when you are late, you must not apologize because by apologizing, you wait more for me.
Okay. Jason, I was told that it's the permit problem was from my parents.
Okay, continue, Jason.
Thanks very much. So we'll go through the presentation and what we would like to share is to provide the DSC overview in order to contextualize this report. We will go through this part very quickly because we are still members of the committee aware. And then we'll highlight the achievements for this headquarter that we are reporting on. And then we'll go through a program by program. And then we'll also give the financial performance and then we'll conclude. So the work that we do in this ministry and in the Department of Science and Technology is informed by the White Paper of 1996, which introduced this concept of a national system of innovation. Our view is that we still have to work hard to have a fully functional national system of innovation, so we still have this as an idea, and it is essentially a framework for enabling a working transition of innovation. Maybe a brief set of what we are trying to, what we mean by an NSI is a set of institutions functioning. We should move the social movement here. A set of functioning institutions, organizations, and policies that build as constructively in the pursuit of a common set of social and economic goals in society, all seeking to promote change through the introduction of innovation. We, as the DST, see ourselves as the coordinator for the development of this NSI, influencing the system through a number of strategies, the National Research and Development Strategy of 2002, the 10 Innovation Plan, as the guiding document of the work that we do. The later document, the 10 Innovation Plan, particularly seeks to help us in deepening the resource-based economy whilst we introduce the idea of a knowledge-based economy, where the production and dissemination of knowledge will lead to economic benefits and reach all citizens. In this regard, a measure of success will be the level to which science, technology, and innovation play a driving role in enhancing productivity, economic growth, and socio-economic development. And we are building a set of indicators that will help us to track this over time, and at an appropriate time, we'll be happy to share what those indicators are for the members of the economy. So the vision again to create a popular society that derives and growing in expertise in science and technology, and the hope is to do this by developing, coordinating, and managing a national system of innovation that will bring about maximum human capital, sustainable economic growth, and improved quality of life. We have objectives in the department, and the first one is to enhance our ability to generate knowledge. The second one is to develop our capacity to translate ideas from this knowledge that is generated in the social community. We'd like to make sure that we develop appropriate science, technology, and innovation skills to meet the needs of the society. We need to build a world-class science, technology, and infrastructure, and to position South Africa as a strategic international research development and innovation partner. And we can give examples of what we mean by each of these. But I think as we go through the presentation, we will indicate how we are meeting the objectives of the department. We also, as a department, through the agreement that the minister signed with the president, contribute to a range of government outcomes. We contribute directly to outcome 2, which looks at a long and healthy life for South Africans through our health innovation program and technology program. We contribute to outcome 4, where we have a range of initiatives that are trying to contribute to decent employment through inclusive economic growth, skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path, vibrant, equitable, and sustainable rural communities, and security for all, and 4 and 5, environmental assets and natural resources that are well protected and continually with a range of programs in the environment work global change program. These are the programs of DST, Program 1, Administration, Program 2, Research, Development and Innovation, Program 3, International Cooperation and Resources, 4, Knowledge, Human Capital and Knowledge Systems, including FIKS, and Socioeconomic Partners. So this is a slide that is trying to give it a better sense of what each of those bubbles mean. Program 1's responsibility is to provide overall management and administration of the department. Program 2 is trying to facilitate knowledge generation and exploitation through research and development in key priority areas such as space science, bioeconomy, and energy. In Program 3, they would like to strategically develop and promote and manage international relationships, opportunities in science and technology agreements that strengthen the work of the national system of innovation and enable an exchange of knowledge, capacity, and resources between South Africa and its regional and international partners. Forum 4 helps us in the creation of an innovative and competitive society with highly skilled human capital, competitive knowledge, and research infrastructure. And then Program 5 enhances the growth and development priorities of government through targeted science and technology-based innovation interventions and the development of strategic partnerships with other government departments, industry, and other institutions. So that's how we structure within the department. So I'd like now to share with your permission to go to the achievements for the third quarter. What we have tried to do with our monitoring and evaluation session is to try and analyze the targets that we set for the year and give the honorable members of the committee a sense of where we are. During the third quarter, we have achieved 28 of our targets, which represents 42%. We are on course to add 15 of these targets to the 28, and that will take us to approximately 55% of the targets that we have set out ourselves to be achieved. And we have identified a couple of targets that may not be met, that are a moderate risk, and we are working hard with various programs to ensure that the problems and the bottlenecks that would stop us from achieving those targets that are a moderate risk are in place. We have one target that we have not reported on, and we are aware that approximately three of these targets will certainly not be met. So this helps to the sense of where we are at this moment in time. And we have a graph here that tries to show the movement from the second quarter to the third quarter, and the comparison of where we were in 2011 and 12, as well as where we are at this point in time. You can see at the same time last year we were sitting at 31% of the target achieved. This year, same time, we have achieved 42% of the target. Now, if we add the targets that we had indicated that there are courses, even though we haven't achieved them, last year we were sitting at 51%, this year we are already at 55%. Now, the target, according to the Auditor General, that they expect us to achieve is 80% of the targets that they have set out as well. So I'd like now to move on to the third part of the presentation, where we highlight a care program, some of the high-level achievements, but I will then go through each of the targets in the table that is on our strategic, sort of on our analysis. We are all aware of the University of Cape Town announcement last year on the development of a candidate malaria drug that shows potential activity against multiple forms of malaria parasites. In fact, I was reading on a business day of last week about how they are already putting skills around this program and also already people benefiting in program as we take it forward. So we are extremely happy about this. We are also aware about the funding that we provide as a department to the National Food Laboratory Services, where the discovery of potent antibodies which are able to kill approximately 90% of HIV found throughout the world. And this groundbreaking discovery provides important clues that could be useful in making AIDS vaccine. The National Intellectual Property Management Office is being established as an institution at an increasing arm's length from DSC, because that's what the IPR Act was suggesting. And I think we have finalized all the treasury processes of setting up NIPMO as a unit outside the department, but working closely with the Department of Science and Technology. In December last year, the DSC through NIPMO launched a first series of guidelines as mandated by the IPR Act of Public Employment R&D. The guidelines are entitled Interpretation of the Scope of the IPR PFRB Act setting scene. As you know, there were a range of concerns that were raised by the stakeholders during the process of finalizing the act, and one of the recommendations was that the NIPMO should issue guidelines around how some of the intentions of the act can be interpreted by stakeholders, and this is therefore a significant breakthrough in that regard. And we continue to work with the Da Vinci Institute on the Technology Top 100 Awards event to make sure that the technology in the private sector is celebrated and those that are doing really well can feel that they have been well and they continue to do that. The DSC, through its participation in this RAGMA Bridging Action for Global Monitoring for Environment and Security in Africa program, they organized the first Global Monitoring for Environment and Security in Africa workshop in Mombasa and Kenya, where African experts gathered to discuss and contribute towards the Marine and Coastal Management chapter of much anticipated GMES in Africa. And as you know, the European Commission, with the partnership we have, are in the process of finalizing a set of satellites that will be used to monitor the environment and therefore they have a program where they would like to work with Africa on the use of satellite for monitoring course and the management of marine disorders, and therefore this is a significant breakthrough where African researchers are agreeing on how they will participate in this program. This Pragma program also organized a side event during the African Association of Remote Sensing of the Environment workshop at the conference that was held in Morocco. The Space Science and Technology Unit has made a significant progress with respect to the implementation of the cabinet resolution, which you are all familiar with, recommending the absorption of the capability that resides within some space into Instagram. We will, of course, at the appropriate time, once all the negotiations have been finalized, come back formally to put the portfolio committee on that matter. So now, Chair, I'm going through each to give you a flavor of some of the targets in the research, development, and innovation. You are aware that the Meerkat antenna has been designed, and the consortium that will be rolling out the Meerkat dishes in the Karoo has been appointed, and therefore they are working towards constructing and therefore delivering. I think the first dish, if I'm not mistaken, was for this 64 dish array sometime in March. If the portfolio committee would like us to give maybe a specific presentation around the progress, apparently on the 29th of May we'll be coming to the portfolio committee in detail, both on the Meerkat and maybe to some sense of what's happening with the whole thing. So eight new technology products and services developed for commercialization. This has been achieved. We have investments with letting us see here and some of the features that we wanted to put in here. So the capacity in this area of research development and innovation. Again, five technology-based enterprises supported. We are on course on that. The number of undergraduate and postgraduate students, we achieved the target, especially because of the number of students that now have in the CAT program. And then we also spent some time training people who understand the management of the intellectual property. This is a joint initiative between NIFMO and Sandy and TIA, so we have done that. And then we have one prototype, patent that has been filed through the work of Center of Competence, the HAIVA system in University of the West Cape. And then the prototype of this exchange membrane proton for this deck that has been developed. So this has been good news because not only are we doing research and development in the center of competence, we're beginning to have prototypes that can be commercialized for export markets and publications. Again, this has been achieved, as well as a huge number of requests have been requested from the space agency on data that they provide. In program three, as you know, last year there was a huge meeting in Cape Town for the second round of the European Commission, European Developing Countries Clinical Trial Partnership Program, and we organized a conference to consult with all the partners with the rest of the continent to discuss the second round of our participation in this huge program for funding clinical research. A project on building human capacity around legume science aimed at addressing food security and poverty in Africa was launched by the PhD in collaboration with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation with the Science and Research Foundation. With your permission, Chair, I'd like to stop and ask Mbonane to explain what is the legume science. I didn't know about it in much more detail until he briefed me this morning. So as a new PhD, we thought this would be an opportunity for him to make his maiden contribution to this.
The science, the legume science is the science that deals mainly in the area of food security with the production of high protein content foods. And it normally is done in the context of sustainable farmers or farmers who may not have
the money to buy fertilizers, etc. Because these crops are able to effectively, using their relationship with bacteria, manufacture their own fertilizers, nitrogen-based, to provide their own nutrition. And they have been used quite widely and continue to be used quite widely in countries such as Brazil, the rest of the continent, and they are the ones that are also used in intercropping. For example, if you grow them together with maize, your input fertilizer is greatly reduced. So they are very critical in that where people cannot get protein from meat and other expensive sources, they use legumes, and that's where you get your beans and your nuts, etc. And this work, we have partnered with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation at the San Diego University of Technology. One to trade students who interact directly with farmers in the rural areas in terms of how they can go about doing the farming. It's actually legume.
Thank you.
It's not Latin origin.
I thought for clarity, maybe we can. Thanks, Chair. So again, we have hosted the first of many SADC policy training workshops in October as part of our working within the SADC to build the science and technology policy capacity. I think this is an ongoing work, and we started this. We hope that the second BRICS senior officials meeting in November in preparation for the summit will happen in 2 weeks' time. And in that meeting, we prioritized thematic areas of cooperation within the BRICS countries. And each country was mandated to draft a memorandum of understanding, which will serve as a frame for collaboration within the BRICS countries. Joint committee meetings as part of our ongoing work with our bilateral partners such as Australia and Japan were held, and we have identified some areas of collaborating in the area of astronomy, space science, and other technology areas. In international cooperation, these units, amongst other things, they bring money, additional funding that is coming from other sources, and can see that this is an area that is a moderate risk. And the reasons are really well known. A lot of the partners that are providing funding to us, they are finding themselves in financial difficulties, and this is impacting on our ability to leverage additional funding from outside the country. In the partnerships that we have within our partners in the continent, if we can get the call out on time and then the commitment for funding from our partners, we should be in a position to meet the target of $6 million for that funding. The number of students that are participating in international...
Just a minute, not a board member, I want to apologize, I think we should not make the sound right, and we should not let the apology acknowledge.
Thanks, Chair. So the other one is the number of people who participate or South African students participate in projects moderate risk. The assumption again is the same, that some of these countries, because of financial constraints, are not able to. So we may not meet these targets, and it's things that are slightly outside of our control. In the human capital and knowledge system, accreditation and certification of norms and standards for traditional medicine is finalized. And the record of system for IKS communication we approved, and therefore we'll be able to start the process of requesting knowledge holders to contribute knowledge into this national record system. In fact, I think a couple of weeks ago, we've already written letters to request to populate the database. A number of targets have been achieved in this area in the training of students. Bit of a challenge in terms of postgraduate students, and in turn, 520 in relation to 550 maybe may not meet this unless we can find some additional resources for providing funding for the new term. Number of researchers receiving support met. In the case of the teaching program for the photonics area, has been established.
and then some of the projects that are currently funded under the nanotech program have been achieved. Research equipment, a little bit of a delay in the issue for the calls for the equipment program at the NRF, and the reason for this is that we needed to hold back on this call because we needed to manage the funds in relation to the funding that was needed for the rolling out of the MedCard tissue within the NRF. Sundrain program, we hope we'll be able to connect all of the academic research sites that we had intended to connect this year. On the IKF, as I've said, we have been able to get the documentation tender in Northwest Africa equipped with the infrastructure that we need in order to get the knowledge holder to populate their information there. We have achieved targets in leads that are identified for product development within this program, and then probably are meeting one patents in the products that have been developed out of the IKF program, such as the anti-folding and anti-wrinkle patents and program. And then on the other portfolio of patents and prototypes, it's difficult to report on a quarterly basis. We are tracking this. We hope we'll be on track to meet the 20 patents and products of products. Same thing in the peer-reviewed books and articles. We wait until there's a report, because we now have to have proof that these things have happened, so we wait until they have been published and the NRF has received the proof that these have been published. That's achieved on the general articles published, and the number of people who participate in our awareness and engagement program has exceeded our target. We have a range of infrastructure programs that we have been funding, and by and large, we have been successful in putting relatively expensive but useful equipment in a number of universities. So we're just giving a flavor of what these instruments are in each university. We did report on the high-resolution electron microscope at NMU, the Groves University, the Force microscope, Botswana University, ultra-high resolution field machine scan microscope. In program 5, we have been through the work that we're doing to support small entrepreneurs. We suffer can fit in able to provide training to 26 entrepreneurs on how to formulate a business plan and how to manage funds. So we have trained 26, 22 from the Monitwa village in Limpopo, and can see the impact of that. The cohort has a total profit of more than 50,000 jointly with an average of over 2,000 entrepreneurs. And then in the other program of Camp City in Goa, we are also training additional entrepreneurs. In our attempt to bring in the private sector close to the work that we do, I think last year Godfrey came and briefed the portfolio committee on our attempt to refine the administration on the tax incentives to reduce the burden on companies to fill the form, but also to give them certainty on how much they would get as a rebate on this. So this just gives you a flavor of the work that we've been doing to try meet with some of the private sector companies, consulting firms, pharmaceutical industry associations, just to have an outreach program to explain the program and also to see whether we can understand the challenges that companies have to access the R&D tax program. As part of this strategic management model that we use to do the work of the department, one of the responsibilities is to evaluate science and technology capabilities in a number of research laboratories, and one of the evaluation that we did this year is the evaluation of the weather service, and we are on track to finalize that review. And then the R&D survey of 10 and 11, we are almost ready for finalizing the announcement of the results of the RFP survey. This is the internal processes that we have to go through. And then we have been able to complete a number of policy interventions, and then the examples are given. So in a number of the targets that we have set out for this program, we think we are on course to reach some of these. We are managing those that are at moderate risk, such as the companies that are registered for receiving technology assistance package through the TEP program, and for tracking the evaluations and the approval process. And then also we're working hard to make sure that more small and medium enterprises receive technology support. We've achieved targets in the human capital aspect of this work, as usual with the IP portfolio of work. Some of the things are at moderate risk because you always hope you will finalize all the research work to develop and finalize the patent will continue to monitor the and then again we have achieved on the scientific paper much as well. So this concludes the achievements of the program chair. I would now like to quickly go through the financial performance for the quarter that we're reporting. This is the slide that shows the budget of the DST and how we split to the various programs within the department. As you know, over 92-93% of our budget is money that goes to the public sector that supports the ministry. We only consume a mere 6-7% of the budget. At this point in time, or by the time of this quarter, we had approximately 80% of the budget against the implant. Expenditure of 82.5, so off by 2%. And then this gives you a detailed breakdown per program of the amount that has been spent. You can see that program 1 administration, 74% of the budget, 88% of program 2, 78% in program 3, program 4, 82%. Gives a total of 80% of the budget spent by the end of December. What we did was just to provide you, even if it's not for this quarter report, the January expenditure, and you can see that it has jumped to approximately 92% by the end of January, and our numbers for February are also looking good. So we think we are also on track in meeting our usual high level of spending at around 98-99% by the end of March. This is just a graph that shows that at the beginning of every year, the blue line, we show the planned expenditure, and the red line is just the actual expenditure against the cash flow. In other words, the blue line says this is the amount that we hope to spend by this month, and the red line is the actual then money that we spend. So you can see there is a good correlation between what we spend and what we ask for and what we set out in the year. So in conclusion, Chair, we continue to be informed by the medium term strategy framework of the current administration. NRDS and Turner Innovation Plan continues to inform our work. 42% of our targets have already been achieved. We hope that with others that we almost certainly will be achieved, we could already be at 65%, and we are monitoring those that are at moderate risk. Human capital, developing knowledge generation and exploitation infrastructure in Africa collaboration continues to be the things that we are focusing attention on in terms of the implementation. We are committed to achieving at least 80% of the target this financial year. This is what National Treasury and the Auditor General is hoping will achieve. In instances where we cannot reach 80%, it's usually things that are completely out of our control. And I think, Chair, this is where I'd like to thank the members themselves, and the DGs have agreed to take all the questions. They know the details more than the DGs. So thank you very much.
Just
that
last slide, of course,
if
I can.
Committed. Not promising what I 42 is by the end of this quarter.
That's
what we achieved in this report that we have provided to you.
So you are saying that at the end of the fourth quarter, you will have achieved 8, you will have doubled what you achieved.
Yes, because we've looked at the targets that are moderately. As I've shown on that pie chart, there are those that we know are on course. All we have to do is just work with the public entity to make sure we achieve them. And we add those, even today we'd be sitting at 65%. But the other that are at moderate risk, I can't remember what the numbers, about 29%. So we're working on those. As I've indicated, some of them are things that are outside our control. As I've given the example of the funding. And sometimes, if it's something that relates to a prototype, as you know, and the members, honorable members, sometimes we put targets on prototypes, but it doesn't recognize it by that time. But we are working very closely with the other colleagues. The others that we cannot report on, as you remember, some are other targets, and therefore cannot report on a quarterly basis to report on them, because if you are asked if you have evidence to prove that you probably don't have evidence, yet. So that's so it's not like we'll jump from 40 to 80, but the others that are on course, having analyzed and give us a sense that we should be in a position, come fairly close to the 80% of the report.
This is a very important quarter. Yeah. Report of one quarter. All that you have been reported to you, they are for the last quarter. So we are saying that come the annual report, if we have indeed, we will have achieved 8%.
Commitment is to achieve 80%.
Okay. Right, honorable member, here is the presentation up to you. Can we interrogate it?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to ask about the lesson product. Does it include soya? Because I know that soya, we've got in Northwest, we've got a soya plant, and that that's also a very high source of protein. And I also know that it's very helpful for patients suffering from HIV and AIDS, and it's used to do home-based care. They are giving soy products to assist with the immune system.
Chairperson, on slide 7. The presenter mentioned that they've got 3 targets that they did not achieve. So can I ask what were the reasons for not achieving those 3?
Slide 7.
Under achievement for third quarter.
Page 7.
Let me thank Dr. Johar for his presentation. Chairperson, my question is on slide number 26, achievements per program. The first column, the first block, 450 South African students participating, whatever. The figure says moderate risk, reason being some calls were placed as anticipated due to non-commitment from countries like Brazil and Norway. Also, Japan could. But what I would like to know is what is it, because I believe there was a commitment in with these countries. And what is it that the department has done to ensure that these countries honor their commitments? This goes to even the next. It goes into the next block, the same on the same page and slide.
Thank you, Chair. To start off with, on one of the radio stations this morning, there was a discussion on the research to provide clean water to our municipalities. Is this department in some way involved in this very, very urgent requirement for most of our communities? Then on, yes, the confusion this morning regarding the documentation is because the name, page numbering differ. We've got different editions of the same document. I started working on the first edition, and halfway through the document, I realized there's a funnel decision. So I would like you to indicate that it creates a lot of confusion, and please in future, is it possible that we get the final documentation as soon as possible? I believe there's a rule that you should get it 7 days in advance so that we can really prepare properly. And also, you know, to come with real and proper questions, not only Mickey Mouse questions, but it needs time to do so and to prepare properly. So it's a very, very kind request. And let's work from the same document then. On slide, I'm now using the first edition. Page 6, your vision to create a prosperous society. Now, I would like to know, where do we start by creating this prosperous society? I know it's the Department of Science and Technology. In many European countries, science and technology is part of education. But how is this department involved in starting right down at the bottom in creating a prosperous society? Then on slide 8, the outcomes, signed with the president. Outcome 7, vibrant, equitable and sustainable rural communities and food security for all. I would like to know, Honourable Tablar also asked a question on this field. How do this department work together with or collaborate with the Department of Agriculture, for instance? Because we've got many topics, and there are many of them, that cut across the portfolio. So I think it's very important to know exactly how do you interact with them and how does it affect your work. And yes, on slide, there's no number on this slide, the one for 14. I would like a proper definition of this moderate risk that was referred to in a few instances. Then on page 14, the graph. The differences between the Director General indicated we improved 65 as opposed to 61 and 42 as opposed to 31. Why this difference? I would like to understand exactly what happened. And then you also referred to the 80% target. So please give us a proper explanation as to what exactly does that entail. Then also on slide 16, the DG referred to the business day. It was on Monday. In Monday's business day, there was an article published at the centre and the collaboration between and the university. Please give us some information. I think it's very important to know more about that malaria and could we perhaps visit this facility. Okay, and there's another one on slide 17. The DG referred and the documentation also to the Da Vinci Institute. I would like to have some more information on the Da Vinci Institute as well. And then, page 18. I'm aware of the fact that the DG said that they will later
the department inform us on this space science and technology unit and sun space and but I'm aware of the fact that you will recall that we dealt with this issue during a meeting last year, and I focused on this issue. I had a meeting with the minister even regarding sun space, and I would like to know now, at this stage, what is the current state of affairs now, at this very moment? I am aware of the fact that the NEL is involved, but we need to know exactly what's going on at this very moment. Is sun space still there? Have they survived? Had many financial problems? People personal finances were at risk. So I think it's very, very important to know exactly what's going on there. Page 23, that's the question I was going to ask when there was explanation during the legume, legumes. Why specifically the TUT? Why is the TUT specifically involved? Thank you for the fact that you are going to get more information on the Meerkat. I missed my flag. But I would like to know the cat dishes. What is the difference between the seven of them and the Meerkat? Why are they going to be redesigned? I was there, I saw them manufacture those. I would like to know more about that as well. And then finally on fracking. What is the position of our department, short and sweet, on fracking, and how do we collaborate with all the others, like for instance, portfolios, for instance, mining and energy and also agriculture? And yeah, those are more of the core portfolios that deal with this issue. Thank you.
I would like to warn honorable members not to be everywhere. They must stick to what the presentation is for today, because otherwise then if we are going to tell about all the program of science and research, we'll end up not doing what we wanted to do. For instance, some of the questions that you've asked, they are programmed for the 22nd of May when we'll be addressed by all space agents, which will include sun space and other things. And that is where appropriately the questions will fall in. So I'm trying to, therefore, one member that try to stick to what is on the presentation today, the performance plan of what has been covered, and why you are not probably satisfied in time to the two last stage, and so forth and so forth. And let's not do it. I've seen the hand behind there, Honorable Smith, first Honorable Lang, then Honorable Smith, and then Honorable Tunja in that group.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Mine is on this presentation, page 14, and it's slide 27 on the ITS. I just want to know, as you mentioned, that the recorder system communication plan was approved by EXCO. And you also mentioned that there's a facility in the Free State. But I want to know, especially in the Northern Cape, especially in the Namapa land area, where the people are mainly using this indigenous knowledge to cure themselves and do all those things. How are you going to ensure that those people know about the recorder systems and that they can also record their information, all those things? Thank you.
Thank you, my apology. Just a few questions. I've missed most of the presentation, so if the questions seem a bit silly, be that as it may. Starting from the back, on the financials, on page on slide 47 and I suppose 48, tell me, this couple of figures here seem a bit strange to me. How does the administration expenditure leap from 54% to 80-odd% in... Well, I see that's the plan. Why did you plan the expenditure of 54% in December and then plan the expenditure of 70% in January when there's only a month's difference? And then you said earlier that the bulk of your budget is transfers. So if you look, for example, at slide 48, unnumbered 48. I assume that the vast majority of funds that go to research, development, innovation, you know, Program 2, Program 4, and so on, are transfers. If they're transfers, and we're now, I don't know how the transfers are paid and what sort of tranches you have, but I would have thought all those figures there, the actual expenditure would need to be 100% because you've bound the last quarter and you're transferring it, or if you're retaining, if you're all 90 or 90%, why are you retaining a small amount and the windows at last didn't get paid? Then, on your targets, look, I'm not too upset with that your targets, you think you might get 80%, because to be honest with you, I'd rather you aimed high and didn't make it than dumbed down so low that you make them easily. But you'll recall last year when we had a discussion on the audit, the issue of the Auditor General raised about whether your targets were sufficiently measurable, and the engagement with the AG's department. I presume that that engagement with the AG's office has translated into how some of these are redesigned. I'd like, if possible, for you to indicate which ones have been redesigned and how. Slide 38 speaks to the new R&D tax incentive, and we're all obviously eagerly hoping that it will have an effect in terms of an R&D outcome. The figure you refer to here, I know it's very new, of 200 applicants. How does that compare to the previous situation? I mean, is that a promising sign, or I have no idea if that's good or bad, if it's actually terrible or if it's brilliant. Give some indication of what you think that figure signifies. And then you'll see on a number of the slides where you're reporting progress against targets, you specify that the targets you report annually. But others you report as and when you seem to make progress. Now, I don't understand the logic between why you report annually on some and quarterly or ad hoc, whatever, on others. If you look at, for example, slide 31, wherever that might be. Yeah, look at patents, for example. I mean, the target is 20 patents be filed and 140 products, and then products, I presume, prototypes and artifacts by end of the financial year. Now, and then you say, status none, reported annually. Why? I mean, why not tell us how far you've made progress to date against 20. You do say above there that 3 patents were locally registered. I'm not sure how that 3 locally registered the target refers to the target indeed below it, which is 20 patents filed. And the same thing below that, you'll see in the next slide, 32. The target is 4,000 peer-reviewed articles, 70 books, 240 chapters, but again, you're going to report annually. Why not give us status quo report 3/4 of the way through the year? Thanks, I think of something else I'll get back to you.
Honorable member, I don't want to interfere with your question, but if you read this report on that, that is what you are asking, that is why it's covered. I take a consistent and can cover a lot of numbers. So if you read that, I think that's just important that you should refer to know that you're in progression. And so you can pick up exactly these differences. Otherwise, some of the people can pick up the amount of the report.
On page 4, I want to make a first before commenting with the chair, I mean with the report, I want to make a humble request. The area that has got no mind is problem here, maybe.
I remember that we had this little room that we are allocated to. It was the children last minute. And that doesn't depend on us. It depends on the communication.
Page, slide number 8. I guess that's what I think I've got only 2 questions. Slide number 8. Is it possible to get it's saying the department also contributes to and reports on the following government outcomes. Is it possible to get those outcomes in detail? In terms of the various processes, like health, its economic growth, I would assume that outcome number 5 is skills development, 7 is the rural communities. So I just wanted to check is it possible to get those?
Sorry, Chair, the understanding request is the contribution of the department to those outcomes.
Yes.
Okay.
The second question is on page 18 on our human capital and knowledge system. There's a column there that says the production process took place to piloted by the test of management and other reasons for variance. Say the first proposal submitted by the was not accepted by the department. The reason? That's slide number 35. The last one, Chair, is on finances. Is it possible for the department through the DG to elaborate more on the deviation from the revised plan expenditure? I think the deviation is going to administrate, you know, if I'm correct. On administration. On the national cooperation and resources, that's for us to have an understanding of those deviations. Are deviations that are, do not say sustainable, manageable in moving forward, and we will then be able to address those. I think those are the only questions on my side. Thank you very much.
And Secretary, on slide number 17, page 9, very interested in the marine and coastal management because I read about how our resources are being totally stripped and without proper management of those resources. I just want to ask, since this was the first global monitoring for the environment and security, does it also include and will it include in future our biodiversity? Not only the marine side of it, but also our very diverse plant and small insects like, for instance, butterflies that are clear indicators of global warming. So I just wanted to know whether biodiversity will be included in the future.
I think it's over to you, the general delegation.
Thanks very much, Chair. I will try and maybe suggest that the various colleagues deal with the question. The GLUM project, in terms of the soil and maybe its ability to help the HIV patients, I'll ask the DDG ICR to speak to it. Honorable, like you, with the achieved and unachieved targets, I'll ask Tulani as the custodian of the planning within the department. He's familiar with the impact. I can give high-level responses on these. And then the students' participation and the commitment by the various, Boneni can deal with that in terms of Norway, Brazil, Japan, and those countries. You may as well, Bonini, deal with YTT for their participation in the Lagoon project. I will request that the issue of malaria and Da Vinci Institute valve is closely related to that, and then Tulani could come back to Honorable Lawrence Lopez. Issue of 6542 and why the difference, I think, and the issue of why some of the targets are on moderate risk. And we, you know, I'll ask Petio to talk about the IKS and the outreach program in Namaqualand around the causal system and the communication and the outreach. The variation, Honorable Smith, on the planned amount in December and January, I can deal with that. I can ask the CFO to talk about that. And then I can also try and give a sense of the transfers, why not 100% at this point in time. Tulani can talk about the process that we have put in place to deal with and ensuring that the targets do adhere to the SMART principle as identified in the previous audit, and what we have done to do that. R&D tax incentives and whether we're moving forward with the indicative number of 200. Mr. Patel is closely aware of that. And the logic of formulating these targets, I can give a first bite on that and we can have a long to also talk about that. Honorable Dundra, on the DST contribution in detail, yes, the answer is we can formulate and document exactly what it we're doing in support of the various outcomes. Pretty on the IKS candidate, you probably know more than anyone else the tier proposal challenge and why it was not supported. And then aviation on the planned finance, are we able to address this? I can talk to that. And then Val can also talk about the coastal and marine management. In fact, maybe Imran would be better able to talk about that because I think the Pragma GMES project is slightly different because it's just looking at the coastal management across the continent. And I think the answer is more for Honorable Tuklanch on the management of biodiversity and what we're doing. And then I'll try and also request, try and deal with the request on the region and the collaboration with other departments. Maybe Petiway, you can talk about in detail about when we talk about session, what we are doing to start at the lowest level. We have a range of programs that we are doing in Africa. I think, Jay, if we can bring them like that, we should be in a position to cover most of these. So let me start with the vision. Maybe let me start by apologizing on the various versions of this document. We don't know how that happened. There was only one version, I think, that we signed off from our side, but we can investigate. But also, we take the suggestion of trying to give these 7 days before, which practically means by end of today. We should be having a presentation ready for you for the next meeting. We'll try and make sure that our distribution from our office comes from the single source July. I don't know how this happened, but we signed one version. But anyway, we'll do our best. Yes. The vision issue. We have a range of awareness programs in the department, which we do in partnership with the NRF, South African Advancement Agency of SASA. Some are specific to a range of the programs that we do at the DST. I know there's something on astronomy, there's something on biotechnology, there's something on the broad space. We also have a Youth into Science strategy program, and again, Dr. Matutu can talk about this in much more detail, including the 18 Benaledi schools that we are adopting within the DST. So in those packages, there's detail on what is it we're doing at the schooling level. What I'd like to highlight here is that we clearly know that we are not, our mandate is not to assist the schooling system. However, we have distinguished our contribution as out-of-school contributions. However, we work very closely with the Department of Basic Education. In fact, the minister, before he was the minister, the deputy minister, he worked closely with the deputy minister to identify things where we could pilot science and technology interventions to assist the schooling system. In Kofimbala, for instance, then, we have a program where we are trying to pilot the use of tablets and the use of technology in the form of computers for providing education to kids and also have the training of the teachers and the HSRC helping in monitoring, you know, the soft side of that program. So we have a range of issues that I think we're doing with them. In the broader society, if the question is broader than just the schooling system, we have a range of outreach programs for the society as a whole. You know, our National Science Week, but we've got programs that are now within the SABC, also that are just We haven't finalized, we don't have a document as yet, but we're working closely with the SAPC to have outreach programs. We have agreed with science councils on them having an outreach program to the society as a whole, so that this idea of the work that we do and the impact that it's making is not only known by, of course, starting with the young ones, we know that the next generation would be easy. But and then the second question was the food security rural community work that we do. Imran can talk about the detail of work. But the manner in which we collaborate with other government departments is we sign memorandum of agreements and understanding with the department. That's the only instrument we have. And of course, write to the ministries or the department to say we think that Department of Science and Technology can work with you, or we share with them the programs that we have that we think at a pilot level need to be taken up by those various government departments. In the case of a specific question on the work that we're doing with the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, we have a range of pilot programs that have been doing under the Sustainable Livelihood Work, that program for Agriculture Driving, which we feel need to be taken up by them, the aquaculture work that we're doing, the medicinal work that we're doing, and a range of other activities where we now have a formal agreement with them. So it's a case of how over time these would be taken up by them. Again, our engagement is either those pilot programs and how they can be taken up, or we can identify an R&D program to support the sector. In the case of agriculture, we have an R&D research development and innovation program that is going to support the agriculture, forestry, and fisheries work. What are the things that we can do? In the forestry work, I think we've developed this and similar to the others as well. We're working with the Department of Minerals on their beneficiation strategy. The work that we're doing in three centers of competence and platinum beneficiation for yourself is an example. The flora expansion initiative where we add value to flora spa to produce the fluorine-based products. This is the work that we contribute to the bigger. But as I say, the modality is to use Now, let me come to, I don't know how the chair would like us to deal with this. The CAP 764 dishes, well, I can talk about this. But the CAP 7 dishes that are already in the Karoo were prototype, just to see whether you can construct a dish, you can commission it, and you can point it in the sky, and then it can receive the radio signal that you want to. However, after that has been done, there's a lot of lessons that have been learned as a prototype to the meerkat. So the 64 meerkat dishes is now a precursor to the SKA in the dish array technology for the SKA. Now, one of the things that the project SKA, South African project, did was to use the results of the 7 Karoo Array dishes to get a sense of whether you are able to receive the signal the best possible way for enhanced signal. And one of the things that they found, for instance, is that the design of the dishes, because the receiver that you see in the center of the dish is supported by the pillars that are attached to the curvature part of the dish, those pillars actually stand in the way of the signal that you receive. So they've redesigned the dishes, and you'll see funny-looking dishes. I think there's a special name, Gregorian offset dishes. So in other words, the receiver which you see is not at the center. It's slightly offset. It's maximized so that when the signal reaches the curvature of the dishes, they're concentrated at the receiver side, but you don't have the pillars in between that stand in the way of distorting the signal, and therefore you have a lot of background and you're not able to. So as you go through the various stages of prototyping, you learn and then you improve. I suspect that even the SKA 196 dishes that we've been awarded for phase one may be slightly different than even the 64 dishes for the meerkat. Those are just the stages of design. We will come back on the sun space issue, but as you know, the company is on something which is called a business rescue package. So in other words, it's a process where the company says to this business rescue package person, we need to be rescued as a company. And on the basis of the cabinet decision, what are the processes that need to be put in place in order for the company to be rescued? And as we implement the cabinet decision, we were asked to look at how we can then incorporate the expertise and the skills that we have within some space for the satellite program that we'd like to have. And therefore, one of the things you'd have to do is how much would you pay for that company from the skills? So we had to conduct an IP audit of what the company has in the IP and, if you like, the goodwill of the company. We've had three companies that have helped us do this. We now have three sets of numbers that gives us a sense of what the value is. We will now go back to the business rescue package person to then give them a sense of this is what we found, and then the negotiations with the company on the value that we have received will then be negotiated. If it's accepted, then we're going through a process of then, in a sense, technically transaction. We have tried to keep the staff busy with a range of activities which the agency has identified in order to keep the skills and the people busy. And I think we haven't, in our view, lost all the expertise that we want to integrate within the space of agency. So, Chair, with your permission, could I then move to the issue of the formulation of these targets? Honourable Smith, some of the targets are easy to take and are not targeting to break them down to. Others are not easy. But one of the things that we are trying to do to respond to the audit findings is two things. The one is, and they say you can report on the target, but most importantly, can we start moving into a stage where if you say so many things have been achieved, can you produce proof? So in instances where we feel we may not have proof, even if a target could be broken down into quarter cases, but if we cannot, from the source, could be the NRA, be confident, or they telling us you will not have, you know, let's take an example of a publication that you're getting out of a conference. Until it's published in the conference proceeding, you don't have proof. You know, somebody just said, I went to a conference, I made it. So sometimes that is what informs our choice of which targets we break into a quarter and which ones we don't. I mean, others are just impossible. So it's two categories. Others are just impossible. For instance, you cannot, if a student registers at the beginning of the year, you cannot report on how many students have graduated until the end of the year. So no matter how much I can tell you in between, or I can tell you for three quarters, the student is still studying, you know. Next time we come, the student is still studying. So, but the others, is, if we break it down, will we have evidence in the report? So I think that to learn it, those are the two guiding principles, because your question is what informs us to do this. I'll ask CFO to talk about the planning program, you know, how we plan. In fact, I was honest with Mr. Magusa this morning. I said, he's giving the portfolio committee too much detail. The cash flow projection and how we are meeting the cash flow projection is something that we use for our own internal management. It's just for the committee to know that we do this, to say we set at the beginning of the year on which month we will get how much money, and do we then make sure that the programs spend according to that cash flow. It's part of the discipline in the finance management. But the CFO could probably say a few words on the on this matter. Why not 100% by the end of the third quarter for the transfer? The budget of transfers is divided into two parts. There's something which is called the parliamentary grant. So this is the amount of money that is given to the institution, and there I think the institutions negotiate with us the best way. Some would cut the money at the beginning of April, and then the rest of the money halfway through the financial year. Others they request every quarter, and we try and adhere that inform that cycle that you see on the cash flow management. The other ones are programs that are still funded via the ministry, where we expect quarterly reports to be given to us and monitor progress before we release the next chunk of funds. And sometimes we find that institutions are not able to give us satisfactory reports, and therefore we will not transfer the money, because we have to get reasons why those milestones have not been achieved. So in that case, that portion of the budget is always varying, because we need to be treasurable, and I may be fired if I'm transferring money
And there's a report that clearly says the milestones that were agreed have not been achieved, and the reason that is provided is not a clear reason. So, Chair, I think that's as far as I can go on the high-level ones. With your permission, I'm happy to ask Mr. Patel, Muneni, Mavuso, Dr. Monsami, and Matutu to then respond to specific issues that were raised.
Thanks, DG. DG highlighted, I think, four particular areas that I would address. I think there's many colleagues to go through. The first is the quest to find out whether we do research to provide clean water to communities. Just on this, the role of DST is on two fronts around clean water. One is obviously through different programs, through our nanotechnology work or through what any other areas, whether it's engineering, etc. We do fund research that supports new ways of delivering clean water to communities. For example, CSR is doing work now to look at sensing the quality of water. And if you know the quality of the water, you provide this information to municipalities, they can get more effectively. You're aware of work that was done in the universities around tea bags, that clean water, etc. So that's what we would call research and development on new products and services. But the second area of work that we do is we work very closely, and this is what Program 5 does, to look at the transfer of existing and, in some instances, mature technologies into communities that have not been tried. So we have a very, very large-scale project being run in three provinces, but within particular localities in the Eastern Cape, and now we're starting in Limpopo and Mpumalanga, where we look at, for example, we've introduced ceramic filters, so that even if people have to, in rainy seasons, use bottled water, they can purify it. But we've done in the Eastern Cape, we've introduced a communal water station as an example, which then purifies the water. Now, it's not as easy as that because you don't look at the technology alone. You have to look at the technology together with social factors. In those projects, we spend a lot of time doing social mobilization to ensure that people keep the ceramic filters clean, etc. And our role is not to roll out. Our role is to study that implementation in order to provide the lessons and the learnings to the Department of Water Affairs or to municipalities, etc., who would then have to roll out or would have to change schemes or funding arrangements, etc. To give water to clean communities is going to require billions. And what we can assist on is new approaches. So that's just some indication. We can provide more information. We need to highlight our accelerated sustainable water service delivery project as a key milestone. The minister has previously mentioned this as deputy minister. He's playing quite a strong role in championing this.
I would like to cooperate with the Department of Rural Development.
Okay. I'll come to the second question, was how do we work with agriculture? But I want to broaden it out to say, how do we work with other government departments? I think this DG gave a hint. Our role is not necessarily, the government as a whole spends funding, I don't know the exact figure, but we might be spending about 25 billion rand on science and technology. About one-fifth of that is the DST. So many, many government departments are doing science and technology. We had taken to Cabinet a long time ago what we call a strategic management model, which has three types of R&D, frontier science, where DST has an entire responsibility, shared responsibility, and things that we consider mature sciences. Now, in the latter two, we have to work very closely with government departments. We can't just decide on our own. So we spend a lot of time as the department having meetings, even at the level of DG and the minister, sitting down, agreeing, where is it that we can add value? Where is it that we can do things that other governments can't do? So in the case of rural development, I've just got an email now. I'm working with the EDG where we're looking at joint projects, joint initiatives, etc. We try to distinguish our role in terms of two things. One is we have a much better ability at CST to do things that are a bit more riskier, a bit more at the cutting edge than rural development, because they would have to account in a very different way. So, for example, when it's time to think about using a very new water solution, then it's we can play a better role in that instance. And then the second role that we play is to be able to do much more detailed monitoring and evaluation and understand how technologies are taken up and feed this information back to the departments who then use it to make this work. So we have, with a whole range, Department of Environmental Affairs, Agriculture, Rural Development, we have
on an annual basis is done and agree on what is it that we do, and it ranges. I mean, we jointly support some projects, jointly do some projects, or we just agree to share information. So each one of them can take 5 minutes to even give a sense of what we do. The R&D tech incentives was the third set of questions that were asked, again, I would suggest that I just give a bit of a sense of it. We will be coming to this committee, as we have done for the last 2 years, to present the latest. We do on an annual basis. I'm sure if you read the cabinet minute last week, the cabinet agreed that we can now present this, what we call the R&D tax incentive report to the committee, which we will do. We will just find time to do it. But the tax incentive is a bit of a, you need to understand the structure of the projects to understand their numbers, because this was something that was introduced a few years ago, and as companies get to know about this tax incentive, they can then make an application to get a tax rebate on what they've spent. But they can go back right to 2006 as an example. So just talking about 222 applications doesn't tell you much. What you have to understand is how much is that translating into in terms of money getting back, because as more companies find out about the tax incentive and they find out it's something useful, they make an application, and they sometimes make an application that goes back a few years. We will be getting better information now because we have a new system where people have to request pre-approvals. So we will be able to track pre-approvals in a much better extent and be able to determine what kind of signals this is sending to us and where is it that we need to intervene. So can I suggest that we will come and do a detail, because you might not have a good sense of the numbers if you don't understand how the system works and the scheme works. We will be coming back on that. The final question is around biodiversity work. And again, if you remember the comment I made about how we work with government departments, it's the same. Department of Environmental Affairs is one of our strongest partners as a government partner. And they have well-developed programs. They have an entire institute, the South African National Biodiversity Institute, that does all of this work. So we don't necessarily duplicate in terms of the area. We do, however, play some critical roles. So, for example, where we're funding a center of excellence, like ACCESS, or we're funding a particular program, which is like the Scion program, then we're funding that because it's more within our mandate to find something that's more longer term. But we have, for example, Department of Environmental Affairs on the advisory board of Scion as an example. So South Africa does a lot of work around biodiversity. Scion is the South African Environmental Observation Network. It's a network we've been funding. And like other countries, they've shown that it's only a department like science and technology that would give commitment to support such a program for like 30, 40 years. That's the only time you can get value is if you do long-term monitoring. So it's a bit more difficult for a department like Environmental Affairs to do, so that's why we support it as a knowledge platform, whereas they do a lot of work. We cooperate at the level of defining strategies. So together with Environmental Affairs, we would agree on a green strategy as an example, or we would agree on biodiversity strategy or an agriculture strategy. And then as we implement that strategy, we then agree what is it that is better to be funded by DST and what is it better to be funded by IOC. This is reminding me, but I didn't take that question, so I might be wrong about municipalities getting clean audits or clean water. It's clean water. I've addressed the clean water. I would say I would not touch trying to help municipalities get clean audits. I'll be fired immediately.
Thank you, TG. The question that I'm going to deal with is whether soya is part of what is doing the research work that we're looking at. Yes, indeed, it is included. The work is looking at a whole range of crops. And honourable members may be aware that Brazil is one of the countries that is quite advanced when it comes to soy products. And what we have done in this particular program is to bring on board Brazilian experts. So they are partnering with CUT to do work on that. We are looking at it, though, from the point of view of the provision of high nutrition crops to the medical people, but we're not looking at it from its role in HIV and AIDS, because in any case the role in HIV and AIDS is again the basis in terms of nutrition, in terms of the provision of protein. to relate to the targets that are not met because of the commitment from the partners not being honored and calls not being made, etc. What normally happens is that we enter into cycles of dealing with our international partners. And sometimes, depending on what happens politically or even economically, the countries are unable sometimes to honor their pledges. A typical example, looking at countries that we've mentioned Brazil, Norway, and Japan. With Brazil, what happened was, and they didn't say this, but our suspicion is that them now having to deal with the commitment to prepare for 2014 World Cup, they might have had a diversion of their resources to do that because they have been telling us the past 2 years that they don't have money to go into court as we have agreed. And then, of course, what we have to do is we just continue to find other ways of getting the relationship alive rather than saying, you know, this has been a deal breaker. With Norway, they have set with the implementation agreement. We've got the overall agreement of science and technology that we have with them. But for us to implement it, we need to sign the memorandum on how we're going to implement it. We've done all the rules that we needed to follow in terms of legal consultations. But since last year, around February, they have been having this document. And only last week we were able to sign. And one of the reasons they gave us was that they was changed a lot of changes in their staffing and they couldn't follow up at what they went. So now that's going to happen that we sign the implementation agreement. With Japan, unfortunately, the natural disasters have really cost them dearly. The tsunami, and why do you think they are recovering when the next thing comes? So we were not able to make calls with them, but they were able to also through their development programs accommodate a whole range of science and technology programs. Like while we may not have gone through the course that we wanted, we are partnering with them on, for example, work that supports Program 5 work around climate change. They are very good in terms of modeling and prediction, so that work is going on. They are also partnering with us in terms of capacity development in the area of engineering, especially when it comes to the area of energy. So there we've got a kind of a program where they identify engineers, mostly from ELCOM, who are flown to Japan to spend time with the Hitachi, the company that is involved in both Ndudi and Kutile Power Station. That's they are there to pick up skills that will help build our capacity in the area of energy going forward. So those are some of the challenges that we have when we engage internationally. And sometimes you've got an agreement going, like now we've got projects that are going on with Kenya. Depending on the outcomes of the election, if the new administration decides science and technology on the back foot, then we might have some of the challenges going forward. So those are basically some of the reasons why these targets become a risk, even though we work very hard to make sure that we achieve them ultimately. And the last question on my side was why we are dealing with funding this of technology. When we engaged with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, one of the things that we needed to do was identify an institution that will have the capacity and the relevant expertise to deal with this kind of work. And it so happened that China Investor Technology, that's also where we've got a chair, I think it's an agronomy. And they are very good at this kind of work. Agronomy. They also are attracting students, predominantly previously disadvantaged students, who have got these links with the sustainable farmers that we're trying to engage with. So they again, in the program, go back and impart and share the knowledge with the farmers. So So they were really in terms of what we needed to get the program going in the first match. Even though we're hoping that when we identify our international partners and work with them, we always take the little opportunity we get of working with them as us getting a foot into their territory, which will then enable us to grow that. And we're hoping that us having started to partner with them, we already are partnering them in the area of health innovation. So now growing in this new area would probably, and in health innovation, we are involving different institutions like the medical center. So depending on where the skill set resides to make the program happen, that's why we would choose the institution. I hope that answers all the questions that will be on my table.
Just one. They are launching the Japanese. They are launching on the 11th of April. They are new vehicle on this mine exploration. We think they collaborating on that here in Singapore. Which is the partner? Are they not with you?
I'm not aware of them collaborating with us in that regard. We just had about today is Wednesday. On Friday, we actually had a meeting with their ambassador on what areas of work we want to get involved in. They had, after the incident, they had really scaled back on their international partnership. And we sort of understood them. They were just kind of say, they are still interested in partnering with us in science, and hence they have invited the minister to come over in June for part of the partnership that we have with them, but also in October to focus the skills and science in the partnership because they want us to broaden that. But on that particular aspect, Honorable Chair, we are not aware of us.
Yeah, actually, I met with them during the State of the Nation address, and actually they said they would be sending the formal invitation for the 11th of April, where they were launching this squadron vehicle, which cost 6,500 meters to the city. They said it's going to be for deep sea mining exploration. I'm waiting for the invitation so that I can submit it to the members, if they want members to be part of it. But they said it would be launched in the last ship is going to have with this vehicle.
Okay, I think what is happening is that they've got a sea that is looking at exploring the deep sea to look at the whatever there is, whether it's life in the deep sea. And now this ship is going to be doing that. I understand it has left Japan a couple of weeks ago. And that ship will be docking in Cape Town the week of the 11th until the 13th of April, where part of that will also be here in Cape Town to look at aspects of awareness, trading for kids, etc. And they have invited the minister to sort of come, but the ambassador has sent through that invitation to the minister. And it's really about just the work that they're doing around the deep sea to look at life and other aspects. So it's for deep sea exploration, yes.
Thank you, honourable members. I must apologize. The presentation that we had was just one presentation. I guess the problem was in the printing. But sometimes you print two slides or one slide. I think everybody trying to work that out. Just to indicate on the three targets which will not be met, we have two targets in program four and one in program two. The one in program two relates to NIPMO, the establishment of NIPMO. What the carbon component? Obviously, as part of the engagement we had with National Treasury, it became clear that the NIPMO does not provide for NIPMO being a sort of an independent government component. So therefore, we are now establishing it as a service delivery unit within the department at the chief director level, rather than at the DDG level, because that would have led to what we call the connection of the legislation base. But the or the office will be established, it's just that it's in a different form. The second issue, the actual targets, one relates to the strategy that has been developed for the science, technology, and engineering and mathematics innovation. I think in that case, that was delayed, because I think the DG wanted to ensure that, I think last year, DG, after hiring, took over the portfolio. So it's part of rearranging the work in this program, so that got delayed. And the second and third one led to the call for infrastructure grant. There was a delay on the call for infrastructure grant because we have an indicator that says that we had a number of researchers that must have access to research infrastructure. But now that is ongoing, so the call was issued in December instead of June. So the only reason why we're not access the target is because the access of the researchers to the research infrastructure will happen post the financial year. So really those are the three. But just sort of indicate, I think we just spoken about the formulation of these targets and sort of these targets. What we also have, you know, in all our, we have about 66 targets for this financial year. Only one that target has an annual sort of a target. So most of them, they have their quarterly targets. So we've indicated in that, even in that pie chart, that only one target has not been reported on. Now there was a question in terms of how do we, you know, intend moving from 42 to 65. I think what the DG painted the picture is that if, for example, we achieve those that are in progress, which we are 100% sure that we'll achieve. Because if you look at the legend, the red one indicates that the target, it's certain that we'll not achieve the target. And the amber one, it just indicates that the target is at moderate risk, but obviously remedial actions are taken. And the target will be achieved. And those that are green, they are on course, and there are no major actions needed because I think the work plan is going according to plan. So really, we are of the view that we, with the 42% that we currently have achieved, and the 23% that is on course, 23% of 65% that we talk about. And now, as I said, putting remedial actions on the remaining 29%, which are at moderate risk. Our view is that if we were to achieve at least 15% of that, it actually puts you to the 80%. So really, that's where we're coming from with this. So we are hoping that we'll be able to put some remedial actions. And as part of our monitoring and evaluation in program one, we are actually giving this picture to programs as part of our assessment of the evidence that they've provided in terms of the performance information. And hence, I think we created this particular exercise to give them a picture that put some remedial actions for you to be able to achieve the target. On the third issue relating to the SMART, adherence to the SMART principles, last year we received our report from the AG. We then took an action immediately in August by getting an external company, which is PwC, to work with us in the assessment of the targets that we have in our current APP. We then obviously engaged in the process of reformulating. The biggest issue was in the articulation, you know, how those targets are articulated to ensure that, you know, they're specific, they're measurable, and they're achievable. So we have worked with them on that. We then produced a revised annual performance plan, which we shared with National Treasure with a view to say that when we, by the end of this financial year, we should be able to actually have some sense of comfort when the AG comes in to say, annual performance plan does have targets that actually the performance indicators that are SMART in nature. So that we have shared with the AG, we have shared with the National Treasury. We're just waiting for the National Treasury to indicate that they are happy with how we have now reformulated those without changing the target, but just reformulating the performance indicators to adhere to the SMART principles. So I think as we go on, I think, as I said, this is a learning curve. I think we are maturing in how we formulate our targets. So I think that's an action that we really took. But also, you, honourable members, would appreciate the fact that with the new APP that we'll be tabling, we have now also, you know, included quarterly targets, because our previous APP only indicated annual targets. Now we've broken those annual targets into the quarterly targets, so it will make it more, you know, user-friendly and actually can be able to commit ourselves in those specific targets. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Chair. I've got, I think, four questions that I want to just try and answer. So the first one is around malaria, and there is additional information.
Just 1 minute, because I wanted to make just a small follow-up. What was the consideration in you taking the ITS-NC?
to locate it in, I think that is it's in the city, the regional center.
Just on the area of drug cannabis, and whether there's additional information and whether it can be a visit or not. You can do both, but what I also need to make the committee aware of is that, you know, even though the potential is there for malaria drug cannabis in terms of attacking malaria in different parts of its life cycle, there's still a barrage of tests that need to be done. They go through phase one, phase two, phase 2B trial, and so on. So it looks at the efficacy of drugs, the toxicity of the drug, and so on. So until all that is kind of tested, then only does it get the approval of the Medical Control Council, and then only can you go into the shelf. So at the moment, it's still early phase, even though the indications are fairly positive. But we can share more information around the drug at the moment. At the Victory Institute and the relationship to the DSD, it's kind of a quasi-academic institution. It focuses on research, also on some sort of education in terms of master's, doctorate, and then it does something called design thinking. And the research in the design thinking is mainly focused on assessing how companies, the innovativeness of companies. And they've got a model called the TIP, Management of Technology, Management of Innovation, Management of People, and Management of Systems. And what we do is in our partnerships with the Da Vinci Institute is they have a brand event called the Technology Top 100 event, where they assess the innovativeness of various companies. And so this is an annual event, and we partner with them. And so there's various categories of innovation management and people management, technology management, and so on. And so what they do is they highlight the companies that are most successful in terms of innovation and management and so on. And then the second one is, given the linkage with the industry, we have what is called the internship program, which places unemployed science graduates in the private sector, and so the DSD handles that relationship between the DSD and the placement of those interns in the private sector. So they have this close relationship with the private sector. So those are two key issues we drive together in partnership with the DSD Institute. There was an issue on the fracking and the role of the DSD. We are kind of representative of what is called a monitoring committee that's been constituted by the Department of Mineral Resources. And we've made certain suggestions in terms of how the DSD can assist in that process. And our primary focus from the department is both from the energy perspective, because we have an energy security portfolio in the department, and so shale gas provides the potential for future energy needs of the country. But also looking at it from an astronomy perspective and preserving the astronomy science that we have, both in optical, radio astronomy, and so on. And so from the DSD side, we've indicated a number of areas that we think that should be addressed in terms of work studies. And these include quantifying resources of the shale gas, the different methodologies in the shale gas, looking at seismicity effects, geological disturbances and so on. And also looking at the environmental impact, water and the ecology and so on. Those are the kinds of interventions we're suggesting as part of the monitoring committee we should take into stock before we move any further on. There was another issue on the Baragma. I think the focus we've mentioned so far was on the marine and coastal management. What I should mention, there was actually three themes that have been posed. We've analyzed the marine and coastal management. But there were two others. One was on water and environmental resources. So the bio, we call them the bioresources, fall under the environmental resource management. But what South Africa will be doing is we'll be hosting a workshop at the end of this year, called a validation workshop. So all of these three different teams will come together and we'll validate the results and put an action plan in terms of how we're going to monitor the marine resources, environment, and the water resources.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The first question on the vision creating a prosperous society, which was asked by Honorable
Glofazolone, we look at a number of levels, starting from the schooling level, and as the DJ has already indicated, focus more there on science awareness. However, because we support science centers, they do not only do science awareness, they, within their intention to influence learners into doing mathematics, science, into popularizing mathematics, science, engineering, technology, they also assist some of the neighboring schools, be it through things like a mobile laboratory, in some cases actual laboratories like this one in Cape Town, the science center which is in Cape Town, does provide laboratories which are on site, and the Department of Basic Education within the province does work with them to assist some of the underprivileged schools. But our major intention there is the popularization of the science. At that level, still, we assist, we don't assist, it's part of our mandate to develop research within that section somehow. Areas like the research chairs, we've got at least about six of them, we focus on mathematics education in particular, in partnership with the First Rand Foundation. So the work of those research chairs is focused on the mathematics education and what evidence-based program which would be taken on a big scale, which works in the mathematics education space. We've got six such research chairs throughout the country. We work with the Department of Basic Education, honorable member, to ensure that the program that the DG has outlined on Bofimbaba, piloting of technologies, then these technologies can be taken further. So we do partner with them. We make sure that whatever is available within the basic education, we make use of that, while we ensure that we do what Mr. Patel has outlined, testing certain technologies, monitoring them very closely within a particular area. Then we move on to undergraduate sector. Within the undergraduate sector, we work with the Department of Higher Education and Training. We've recently signed a collaboration agreement with them where we have come to an agreement that they are going to be focusing on that area of funding through their NFS loans, and also within the National Skills Fund, they will provide the bursaries at undergraduate level. So we provided them with the names of students that we still need to be supported who are coming out of our learners or grade 10 that we still need to be supported, for instance, from the Bofimbaba project, for instance, from the talent development program that we run with the Wits University, etc. And then going to the postgraduate level, the National Research Foundation is the sole agency of government which has been mandated with the responsibility of providing postgraduate research. So we work with other departments to ensure that they support postgraduate students using the National Research Foundation. An example is the Department of Higher Education and Training with the National Skills Fund. Last year, they supported postgraduate students to the tune of 138 million rand in STAR skills area through the National Research Foundation. We work with the Department of Trade and Industry through the TRI program, which is meant to get industry together with the university partners to train students. And they spent more than 150 million as well through the National Research Foundation. And within our own investment, we have been funding more than 7,000 students within the National Research Foundation. So it is that agency, which is the sole government agency mandated to do so. Then we move to the emerging researcher level, where we focus on ensuring that we are able to renew our researcher capabilities at established levels.
we have had a new injection into that section of the pipeline, and we are investing a lot starting from this coming financial year. We had an article which went out, because signed by our minister to that effect. And then within the established researchers, we have the premier instruments, such as research centers of excellence, which this house is very much familiar with. So I would sum it up that way. However, in the post-school sector, we work with the Department of Higher Education areas such as their artisans, with their vocational studies and so on, where they are planning on using our instruments in order to be able to advance their implementation of whatever they are doing there. So there are about 5 research chairs which are going to be coming out from them, funded by them, in those areas such as vocational education, sometimes higher education and training and so on. So we are working very closely together to ensure that they are better able to utilize research to inform their decisions within these areas that they've been mandated to focus on. So I would say that in terms of human capital, as DG had mentioned, that it's not the only area which affects the creation of this kind of environment that we're talking about, a prosperous society, but human capital, that is our pipeline. And then Honorable Lang mentioned a question on the IKS National Recorder Communication Plan, the plan that we have for Namaqualand. I've not seen the plan, unfortunately, DG. However, I'm very much familiar with the communication strategy of the IKS in general. They use a number of methods to communicate with the society, and they look at society in various levels, from the national government, provincial government, local government. And on an annual basis, they would have what we call an IKS workshop, which draws on all key players. They have developed a level which are called community of practice, be it on traditional leadership, be it on medicine, be it traditional medicine, be it on... So already they've established a particular network. They would be working with your contralessals. They will be working with chiefs themselves in particular areas. For instance, they frequent your Umhlabyalingana and so on. I would imagine that within Namaqualand, they should be able to cover that space. But the national recorder system had pilot areas, I think about 6 pilot areas, where they were hoping that the societies or the communities will be able to get things recorded in coming in there. But their communication strategy is quite very, the IKS, the general communication strategy. So I would imagine that this one was tailor-made to ensure that at least those people who are closer to these 6 pilot areas are able to be kept at appropriately. And then on the candidate product for the IKS, I would imagine that already we had patents on this. The key issue was to develop within the innovation chain. One would come up with whatever kind of knowledge would inform your patenting stage, which would inform your prototype, which would inform your production, food game kind of production. So in this case, there were these candidate products which were envisaged. So the proposal that the Technology Innovation Agency presented to the IKS was not satisfactory, and they asked them, can you please provide us with another proposal within the fourth quarter? It's possible that it's an angle that was taken by the Technology Innovation Agency, which was not considered by indigenous knowledge systems to be of interest to them as the IKS, and service the community that they are hoping to be serviced by the IKS. However, there is then the promise that by the fourth quarter, an appropriate proposal would come in. As the DG had mentioned, when it comes to these prototypes and these products, things are not very much clear-cut. And when it comes to IKS, you can't just take anything just because you had planned that you would have something which you know is not taking an IKS angle, is not assessing the kind of thing you hope it is serving. So that I would think that would have been disagreement.
Thanks, Chair. But what I'd like to add on the Namaholand Honorable last question is that maybe we can ask our colleagues from IKS. The first part of the answer is that the ones that were chosen as pilots, so that are the Free State and Northwest were chosen. But it does not mean that the intention is not to go to all the communities that would be involved. But we don't know what the plan is in terms of the outreach of all the communities or people who are practicing, and we'll be happy, Chair, to provide that detail once we've spoken to our colleagues from IKS. It could be in writing to you and then send it to members. The second part, the other question which I think was not addressed, were finance-related questions. One was by Honourable Dunga, and the other one was Honourable Smith. On page 24, where you see a jump on the program one budget from an amount of 124, which related to a planned expenditure of 4% to 72, what we did this year, we agreed that some of the goods and services money that sits in programs under their goods and services budget would be centralized under program one. So that's where you see the jump. Things like communication, we've now agreed that we all, from various programs, contribute to that money so that it can be managed centrally. And that's why I think there's an increase. And then I think the question by Honorable Dunga in terms of the reasons and whether we're able to address the deviations on some of the programs, we're promising you by the end of the financial year, we will not be less than 97% of the expenditure that we have. During the year, sometimes, you know, things move around, but every program, like even this morning, before we came this morning, we were really scrutinizing the details of the budget and the things that need to be submitted for approval to the DG and the minister, not later than that week, and then the money should be spent by the end of. So we almost, this one, we can almost say more than 95% of the money will be spent. Sorry we've been elaborating the question, but we always try to be as detailed as possible.
There's nothing wrong with this. It's not supposed to look for a day. So, my question is to find out the procurement purpose. Why did you move that office of the IKS, the IKS National Center to Free State, the doctor said, away from the Minister office? Yeah, in your presentation you said that in under NIPMO, we're talking about NIPMO, the IKS National National Center established in Free State or something like that.
There are about six different pilot areas. We do have one in Natal. I would imagine that the Free State would be one of them, but we have to check the details of where the other four are. It's not just one.
My understanding is the following. The National
IKS office, NICSO, has as part of this work of formalizing indigenous knowledge system into a knowledge maturity, developed a national recorder system. In other words, they are inviting knowledge holders to submit
their knowledge into the record of system so that it can be one recorded. But also in times of confusion as to who owns the intellectual input of a particular, let's say, drug or anything that gets out of that, you can then, when it comes to beneficiary, be able to attribute the knowledge where it comes from to people who came forward. Now, higher education institutions that have already been doing work in IKS are the six pilots that chosen. It's like at Northwest University, work at Free State University, work at University of Natala. I don't know the other three. So the idea then is that those universities, because they've already been working with knowledge holders, it would be easy for them to invite knowledge holders to record their system into the national record of system in order for dealing with disputes that might arise further down the line. That is, I think, is the purpose of this. The pilots have been chosen on the basis of universities that have already been doing this work. I assume the other pilot to be the MRC here, because they've also been recording with the National IKS or there might be two others that we don't remember at this point in time. Thanks.
I'm not sure whether we're on the same page, but I thought that They are not in different districts.
Yeah,
they're following the community. Okay, now that's fine. I think we've come to an end of your presentation, and thank you very much for coming.
We are lined up for the annual performance plan presentation. I think we've requested from your office, if it's possible, that we do the DST one next week, because for the next 2 weeks, after that I'm out of the country, the other one is the BRICS summit in Durban. So if we can do it next week, and I think the NRF will then come the following week. So if that would be accommodated by the committee, we would appreciate it, and we'll try to honor the request of Honorable Global Lawrence on making sure the presentation is ready today, maybe later tomorrow.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to ask whether it will be possible for members to attend the validation workshop at the end of the year, because I'm speaking for myself, but I'd be very interested to attend that. And the validation workshop at the end of the year, Chairperson, about the water and the marine resources and the biodiversity. They're going to have a workshop of all three spheres, if I can call it that, at the end of the year to bring together what they found and yes.
So what
do
you think about that?
I said that it would be great if we were we could attend that. Yeah.
We need to discuss with the committee and decide whether we will not be interfering with the wood. There wouldn't be any conflict of interest. But we have consulted within the committee then. And actually, what we need to do, we needed to have a workshop ourselves, which was supposed to be at the end of January, which unfortunately was interfered with by the committee session. What they need to plan, among other things, is when will that workshop be, which we normally have the beginning of the year, or 2 days of workshop, so that we plan our things together. But we will discuss this, we will also discuss that in committee program. For now, I think, thank you very much for your presentation, and I am speaking.
Honourable members, we could just a few things that we need to start. The first one, why shall not change the model? The first one, I received a letter from the embassy in Bulgaria. I'm sure you remember that they had a very good say in Bulgaria to oversight the story of Bulgaria. And our worry is that we have not come back to until now. Now the ambassador has written to us to say that the Bulgarian Academy, I don't know whether you have seen that the Bulgarian Academy also put us on internet. They were on internet during that meeting, on the internet, meeting that I with us. Yeah. And we're all appearing there in the internet. So now they are asking from the letter we received from the ambassador, why are we quiet? Why are we not coming up with the further business contact with the Academy of Sciences? But I'm sure indirectly what she's saying, what are we doing about our visit? Why are we not feeding back from our visit? What steps are we taking from all the visits as overall? Probably the thing, one of the things that we need to discuss is what we do and who not we can do by inviting them here. Who do we invite, because we might have a variety of people that stay in the main one of which was, of course, the Academy of Science.
No, thank you, Chair. Well, it's a bit unfortunate that we have to be minded.
Yeah,
I think we must take a responsibility on that. It is in that we do think that maybe Mr. Isaac will assist with the report, but it looks like we have to have then.
I think we let the right and let apology and the so that it's both of us and the area out. I was thinking that the first thing would be to write a letter of apology, and I'm prepared to blame for blame because remember from coming out of there, I was a bit busy the whole year, my daughter was almost not around. And so we couldn't have run together and to feedback to them. So I thought that probably you can tell them that unfortunately I was not around until November. And so by the time I came back, all my people have been told of Panama. And so now, but still, can we apologize for that? And then that now, we are ready, and then we come up with a proposal that we will agree to here. What do we want to do? To invite them to do what? Honourable
Chair, I'm not quite sure if I'm saying the same thing in respect of the minutes or the report, but my recollection of the discussions we had with a number of stakeholders was that in the course of the meeting, we made statements to the effect that we would kind of put people in touch with ABC, or we would explore the opportunity of students to do A, B, and C. I'm not quite sure whether the ambassador is referring to that form of follow-up versus inviting him here, but I do have a feeling that we made a number of loose kind of commitments, and perhaps those that have been referred to, in which case, of course, we need to identify them if we have the means of doing so.
I think I remember now that we did make some number of loose engagements and commitments to them. I think we need to come, Shanaz must put back the report here, so that we must remind ourselves about some of the things we discussed and we can take it from there to say what do we do about it, and then we can then make it a feedback to them.
Change to some in terms of idea of a way forward. I have a sort of a draft kind of thing. the indication at one of our meetings were after that, remember, we didn't get all the information, especially from the older side. So what I have, but we have to have something by the end of, but this is the financial year anyway, because we must account for our trip. So I can circulate that thing, and that be the basis of discussion, because there was a proposal that we actually set aside a session to discuss that report and our kind of to brainstorm maybe some of the undertakings or the things that we suggested there and maybe put together within that report. And that can be the basis of a way forward maybe. We can set aside the 27th, the last day of our, for this term, to just look at that report. And I can circulate it meanwhile, and people can just apply their minds again in terms of what the discussions were at that time, what we want to put in, go in that report and bring it for the 27th.
What do you have for the 27th?
Well, we're going to discuss the program now and some of the changes facing. We might just see a little bit of a plan.
So what will we have in the 27th for that year?
On the 27th, can I immediately then go into the report into some of the
you are suggesting that you can target for that 27th, but I'm trying to find out what were we having after that day,
okay.
And what are we going to do with that.
The 27th is got the NRF on the ATP. The 27th is watching of March, and then we've got also consideration of minister's report by saying that under that item, the medical consideration of report, we need to look at.
I think Schnauzer's proposal would work on the assumption that those Lisbon's loose arrangements were actually recorded. Now, that, I mean, it's a prior question. If she recollects having recorded them, then we haven't. If, if they weren't recorded specifically, which I suspect is more likely to be the case, then I think we have quite difficulty in recording what they were. I mean, one other alternative approach would be to very politely write back to the ambassador, saying just to assist us, could she perhaps collate the proposal into a form that we could consider? In other words, let her just do the groundwork of recovering that lost information, and then we could, not telling her that we lost it and don't have it, but for her to just perhaps prioritize it for us, then she might go and find it for us, and then we can respond.
Do you have anything
about
it? At this point, we think she must collect it as early as possible so that we can see what is there. So that if they, if therefore what we think is sound for us to act upon is not there, then we can then ask the ambassador to assist us. Yeah. I think let's allow Hamas to submit that report to us so that we can look at it when time is still allowed. That by the 27th, we know.
I just want some clarity. In other words, the Bulgarian part of this board, it's or not, is there a draft at the moment of the whole? Okay. Yeah. No, I was actually asking, is there a, it's a draft at this stage? We don't have
report because
the,
in order for it to be approved by the
Congo.
So it's a tough report.
Does that refer to some information that you still need from the Belgium? Is that included already in the report?
I will not like the report because I did what I could with the way the things were. So I made summaries of the sections that we covered. But yeah,
it's not
complete, but I think that's the basis of
discussion.
It's the basis of
discussion. And I think that it's been referred to as the draft. So that we add, we subtract.
Now we must revise ourselves with what is there in the draft, because we have reserved the date to discuss it on the 27th and agree on the way forward.
See, I understand what the draft means, but what I'm referring to is I one day, a few weeks ago, asked Shanaz, do we have a draft already? And she said, and she now also, if I did I misunderstand you, the fact that you refer to some information that you still need 2000?
Dani.
That's Shana's role. She knows what is that is going to do. She's giving us a date on what she has to ensure that when we meet here, then the, all that is needed for that particular meeting is available. So it's not really for us to discuss that.
No. Look at what she has and then discuss it that day. Right, Shana, can you leave us up for the changes that taken into consideration?
Just on the program, I think the meeting now has been informed that DG would like to be present when the department presents on the annual performance plan, and rightly so, he's an accounting officer. So he's available on the 20th when we initially scheduled the briefing on that APP. So what he had asked, if we can move it to next week, they are ready to present. Next week being the 13th of March. Where we have scheduled to be updated on the strategy to increase research and development expenditure in South Africa. I've also learned from the department, they have indicated that they are not ready to brief us on that strategy the 13th, because the cabinet processes have not been finalized around that. So they are not ready at this stage to it. So we do have the space to move around and give the opportunity to come present next week, if that's the committee to that firstly. So then, on the 20th, where we had the DSE for the brief of the APP, we now have a gap. The proposal then is, the proposal then is that where we have on the 27th, the briefing of CSIR and NRS, because those are two big entities. We can move CSIR up. They're also ready to do it on the 20th, which then gives us time on the 27th to deal with the NRS and also now to look at the report that just came up, so that we have sufficient time for that. So that is the three changes, the three exchanges and in our program and stand. So it's for the committee to consider and just let me know if that's in order so that we can proceed on that way.
Proposed adoption.
Yeah.
Or changes.
As the DG stated in the briefing this morning, that the presentation would hopefully be available by tomorrow at the latest. That's on the annual performance plan. So what the committee would need is the actual performance plan so that you can study the presentation with the actual documents. And that was only going to be tabled next week on the 12th. So I'm sure that we'll make arrangements that that's also available as soon as possible.
I've just arranged that they give us three copies before tabling to our office, so we'll have tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you.
If there are not any further clarifications, then we...
Okay, I would like to know, are we going to receive it by means of email then, obviously, because we don't have day in Parliament tomorrow. Some of the caucuses are not going to meet, so many of our members are leaving tonight. I'm leaving early tomorrow morning, so is it possible to get the documentation then? Late afternoon?
Because we in the ANC will still be able to support Blanca Coca. So
So it will only be a few of your women, so she can detail it, she can do it and it is. Are you also leaving?
Tomorrow morning, I'm
tomorrow morning. I think we must arrange a channel about how to get.
But Chief, if I come back next week, I've got a problem to work on it on Monday evening or Tuesday.
Okay. What about the flight?
Okay.
Okay, honorable members, thank you very much for your patience.
I think